All right, here we go. So, nice. Everyone's here. Let's get this rolling. And we're going to talk about mastering your desires, which is going to be kind of a fun one. So I'll start with a quote here that the starting point of all achievement is desire from Napoleon Hill. And that's what this lesson here was inspired by. It was really by two books. Think and Grow Rich is going to be the increasing desire part of it. That's Napoleon Hill. Again, kind of a classic, right? If you haven't read that, so good. Even if you're not interested in getting rich, right? We're all interested in getting rich at some level. But it's real good though, about just how to really kind of focus your mind. And so, anyways, I won't go into it too much, but he's really good. And the other book it's based on is one I've been talking about for the last couple of weeks here, Alan Carr's, Easy Way Stop Smoking System. And so that's the part where we're talking about decreasing desires. So, simply, you know, the way to understand it, and we've talked about this before, but kind of in different language, but, really your desires are the unconscious things that are driving your behaviors. And so it's one way to look at it. So tonight I want to give you kind of two specific techniques to increase a desire and decrease desire. And they're both useful. So again, obviously, right, to reduce unhealthy behaviors, we want to reduce the desire for it, right? But let me take a second to talk about this, because again, this is kind of the unconscious approach. So this isn't new to you, but this is not conventional wisdom, I don't think, because I think typically when people want to change really any behavior, it's really just their first instinct to say, okay, I'm going to stop myself, right? Again, so there's desire kind of coming up, and they're just saying, again, it's the bottom-up stuff we've talked about. That bottom-up stuff saying, I want to do this, and we're kind of trying to squash it down with our willpower. And that's kind of how a lot of people approach change in general. And so what we want to look to do is to reduce the desire, right? So we don't have to rely on so much of that top-down willpower, okay? And so when we look at it that way, there's a lot of opportunity to do that. We're still going to use willpower, right? But we just don't want to have, we can absolutely affect the desire part of it. And then the flip side is to increase the healthy behaviors, we want to increase the desire for it. So almost like flip side of that one is we want to eat and live healthier, but there's not really much desire for it. So we have to use our willpower to kind of pull it up and make ourselves do it. And so we want to make more of this just automatic. And so that's what we're going to talk about. And really what it comes down to is consistent exposure strengthens desire. And this is important to understand, because I think sometimes we have the tendency to think, well, the things I desire, I just naturally just desire them this much. Instead of realizing that it's really environmental, especially with food, we're constantly bombarded with messages about desiring certain foods. So it's not a natural thing. There's some natural qualities to it, but the level that we start to desire it for is very unnatural. And we'll go through why that is in a moment. So we'll start by talking about decreasing desire. And what I want to use, again, Alan Carr uses these words, and I really like them. And so, again, Alan Carr, he was talking about smoking, but he talks about the little monster and the big monster. And so we'll start with the little monster, and he really refers to that as the physical part, the physical desire to want to eat certain things. And so how do we decrease desire for unhealthy foods, unhealthy drinks? Well, the first thing we want to do is just understand that the less you consume of them, right, the less hyperpalatable food you eat, the less processed food you're eating, the less processed soda drinks or whatever you're drinking, the less cravings you're going to have, the less desire you're going to have for it. And again, part of that is physical, right? Because again, you tamp down the kind of physical craving for it, and you just get used to eating other stuff instead, you know, so it becomes the norm. So right off the bat, we want to understand that. The saying I like to use, right, is that if you eat, and I think about this all the time, this is how I think about it. But if I have like a desire or a craving for, I don't know, like potato chips, a bag of potato chips, I know if I eat those chips at lunch, say, that I know that I'm going to have unhealthy cravings later on that day. You know what I mean? So it's like, I always think of it as like cravings on layaway. And so if I eat something crappy, if I eat some, you know, big dessert or a bunch of sugar stuff, I know that I'm going to start craving that. It might be tonight, it might be tomorrow, it might be the day after, but I know that I'm kind of planting the seed for that craving in the future. And so just right off the bat, I'm looking to kind of reduce how much I'm putting in my body, because I know that's also going to reduce the cravings. So another way to think about it is like cigarettes, right? So if you're a non-smoker, you don't have to deal with cravings, right? You don't have a desire for cigarettes. So the absence of the cigarettes reduces the desire for it. Okay. And so I know this is kind of obvious, but I just want to make it explicit and really clear. The next thing is kind of a flip side of that. So the first one's really about saying no and eliminating the stuff out of your diet. The other one's about calibrating your palate. I think I spelled palate wrong. I'm not sure. And so on my mind. So what we want to do is we want to calibrate our palate so it craves and desires healthier foods. Okay. And so that is why we eat healthy unprocessed foods and drink water, you know, real simple. And so, you know, again, I was talking a little about this last week. That's why we want to separate our food. We want to separate into two components. There's what we want to avoid, right? So again, we're kind of reducing those foods so that we make it easier on ourselves. We reduce our cravings, and we want to introduce and add in these healthier foods and these health in water, because it kind of clears our palate and allows us to kind of crave healthier foods. And this is what I meant by earlier, that it's really about exposure. The healthier you eat, the more natural your palate becomes. You know, I remember when I did my yoga teacher training, so I was in ashram for 30 days. And so it was all, there was no spices in the food. I mean, there was a couple like little spices, but there was no salt. There was no sugar. It was all whole foods and it was very bland. But so you eat that for 30 days straight. And then I remember coming back and I forget where I went, but I got, again, I was eating pretty well then anyways, but it was like every little thing that I was eating was so sweet. You know what I mean? It was so salty. And so again, you have to understand, we've grown up in this. We've grown accustomed to an extremely unnatural high level of salt, sugar, fat in our food. And so that's what seems like normal to us. But again, you got to remind yourself that if you, again, even 30 days, if you eat just natural bland foods, that's what you begin to crave, right? Because when we call it bland because we're used to this high level of salt, sugar, fat, and palatability. But as you lower that down, bland, and you live in that bland world for a little bit, you start to make distinctions there. You know what I mean? And then again, you are able to appreciate subtle flavors. Okay. So again, that's going to help you by calibrating it. And the other simple ones, reducing stress. Okay. Because when we're stressed, our body starts to desire and crave unhealthy foods. Okay. For a number of reasons. And then quality sleep goes right along with that. Again, I'm going to say, right, you know, you probably know the stat by heart now, but I always love referencing this one. They did a sleep study, same people, they would sleep deprive them, let them sleep, and they would measure how much they ate. And when they were sleep deprived, they'd eat 300 more calories a day. And so there's a lot of reasons for this. Again, some are psychological, our ability to choose the right foods goes down. But a big part of it is literally our biochemistry changes. And when we don't get the right amount of sleep, our body's looking for quick energy to make up for it. And our body knows the quickest energy we can get is, you know, sugar, processed foods, you know, flour, all these things that are gonna give us a quick spike. All right. So sleeping in a lot of ways really helps us decrease the desire. Okay. So that's how I want you to think about it. It's not just, oh, I should sleep. It's I want to sleep because it's like a magic pill that you can take that's going to help you, you know, act the right way and crave the right thing. So again, we're going to go on even below the behavior part of it, we're going to go to the desire part of it. And you will literally decrease your desire for unhealthy things by doing all this stuff, okay? So we just talked about the little monster, which is the physical cravings, right? And so again, comes from the book about smoking. And he refers to nicotine addiction as the little monster, right? And says, wow, I thought nicotine addiction was really bad. And it is. But when you compare it to the big monster, it's nothing. And so the big monster is your mindset. Right? It's your mental, it's your thoughts and how you're thinking about things. And so decreasing desire this way is really, we want to wake up from brainwashing. And I don't know any other way to think about it. You know, I've said this before, but really like when I got into hypnosis, I thought I was going to hypnotize people. What I didn't realize, it was really going to be about bringing people out of hypnosis. And so what are we brainwashed by? Nonstop marketing. I mean, nonstop. I mean, literally, I write billions here, but it's literally trillions of dollars that we have all been exposed to in junk food marketing, okay? Processed food marketing, soda marketing. And so I know we all like to think, well, it doesn't bother, I don't care. It affects us on some level. You know what I mean? Like you can only see an ad about, and again, all these foods are similar. You understand? So this one ad might be about Snickers, one ad might be about potato chips, but they're all giving us the same unconscious message that these foods make us happy. And without having them, life's kind of boring, you know? And so this absolutely affects desire. So when you can see through it, you know what I mean? When you can truly see through what they're doing and the messages they're giving us, it can help you decrease the desire. You know what I mean? You're not as susceptible to it. Okay. So that's the first thing I want you to recognize. And again, so how do you do that specifically? You know, again, you begin to see these foods for what they are and you see these people for what they are. Again, I'm not saying the people that do this are necessarily bad people. I don't think the people that did the cigarettes that work for cigarette companies are necessarily bad people, but let's be honest. they are pushing a product that is bad for our health, and they're doing it because they make money. And so in that sense, I don't see the difference between drug dealers, cigarette companies, these junk food companies. I don't know what the difference is, because at this point, our diet-related diseases are the number one killers. And so you notice, though, we're not as mad about that, right? Because we have so much good feelings about these foods. Okay, we're all in it to some degree. But we got to see through and recognize that what they're doing is they're basically selling food cigarettes. You know what I mean? It's not real food. Now, again, I think the difference here is that cigarettes are more addicting and more deadly in an acute way. But and so I don't think you have to be all or nothing with these foods. But I do think you need to see them for what they are. They're not good for you. They're creating desires. That's literally their only purpose. And we've done lessons on this before, but the only purpose of these foods is to get you to desire them more and get you addicted to them, right? So you keep consuming them. They don't nourish you. They don't satisfy you. They fill an empty hole for a few minutes, and then that hole appears again. And that's what it is. That's the cycle we're on with these. So again, the more you can see them, think of them that way, the less desire you're going to have for them. You start thinking about food, junk food like cigarettes, that's certainly going to affect your desire. And so another way to do it is, again, is think about the effect that it has on you now and over time, right? How do people stop smoking cigarettes? I think it's a great example to look at. Well, if someone wants to stop smoking, it's because, well, this is really bad for me. I like doing it. I'm kind of addicted to it, but I got to stop because it's so bad for me for all these reasons. We do the same thing with food. Okay. So what's the effect on you now and over time? And so break this down in a couple of ways. Physical, right? Weight, mobility, energy, comfort. How are these foods, again, the ones that you may be addicted to or struggling with, how are they affecting your weight, your mobility, your energy, your comfort in the short term? Now, physically in the short term, there's not going to be that much effect, right? It's over the middle and long term is when you start to notice the effects. So you got to think to yourself, if I continue eating these foods and keep eating this way, where am I going to be a year from now? Where am I going to be 5 years, 10 years from now? Am I still struggling with this, right? Maybe 20 pounds heavier. I'm having trouble walking. My joints hurt. I'm really low energy. I'm uncomfortable. Okay, so that's the secret of the physical. The mental is almost instantaneous. So, you know, you say, well, I don't want any ice cream tonight. You go and you finally get the ice cream. And again, you enjoy the ice cream part, but the second that last scoop of ice cream is gone, how does it affect your self-image and your self-esteem? How does it affect the thoughts you're having? Are you having positive, optimistic thoughts? Or are you having negative, dark thoughts? And again, that's instantaneous. But again, it continues as well. So you can look in the short term, literally instantaneous, 5 minutes after you finish eating, you start to have that effect. But then you start to think, okay, a year of this, 5 years of this, 20 years of this, what's the accumulative effect on my self-image, my self-esteem, on the thoughts that I have day in and day out? Okay, and it's negative. And then finally, emotional. And again, emotional as well is instantaneous. The second you finish that junk food, the second you finish that snack at night that you know is not good for you, how does that make you feel? Right? Shame, guilt, embarrassed, frustrated. You know what I mean? Like all these negative emotions. And it's instantaneous. And then, again, you project into the future. What's a year of accumulating this upright? What's 5 years, 10 years, you know, of accumulating all these emotions and making these my day in, day out emotions? Right? And when you think of it that way, it is depressing. It's sad. Because it is. It really is. We just don't think of it that way. And so as you shift your mindset, as you kind of kill this big monster and see through it, right? Its biggest power is that it tricks us into not questioning it. But when we look at it, we kind of cleanse the lenses of our perceptions and we see these foods for what they truly are, you're going to find that your desire for them goes down, okay? And that's certainly going to help you. So let's talk about increasing desire. And I want to read a quote here that I thought is so good and it's so true. And again, I switched this around a little bit because he was talking about making money. So I switched it in terms of weight and health. But wishing will not bring success. Desiring health with a state of mind that becomes an obsession, then planning definite ways and means to realize it and backing those plans with persistence, which does not recognize failure, will bring health and allow you to achieve your goal weight, right? So you know this. We've been talking about this stuff. So some of the key things, right? Wishing is not enough. You guys already know that. You're taking the action to be here and do this. So you know that. Desiring health with a state of mind becomes an obsession. And I do mean that. Sometimes people get scared by that. But I think it's because And I've been, people have called me a health nut. People I knew a guy who was a friend of the family, and he was 350, almost 400 pounds at his highest. And he would call me a health nut. And, so that's what I'm saying. That's the world we live in, right? Because I'm obsessed with my health, but not in a bad way, I don't think. You know, and again, this is up for you to decide, by the way. No one can decide this for you. But for it to become an obsession is not a bad thing, in my opinion. I think becoming obsessed with your health is a good thing, right? It doesn't make you crazy. I don't think being a workout addict, I don't think being so obsessed with your food that you can never have a cookie, I don't think that's good. But I think, again, what do we talk about? The quality of life. I think when you're obsessed with your quality of life, I think it's a good thing, you know? And then obviously planning definite ways and means to realize it, backing those plans with persistence, right? We know all about persistence, which does not recognize failure, right? What does it recognize? Feedback, right? And so we use the feedback to improve. There is no failure, right? There's no failure until you quit, okay? And so as long as you're in the game, you're still on the path. All right. And those are the things that are going to bring you the health and the goal weight that you want to achieve. So I want to share with you 6 steps to turn desire into, I think that says reality. I can't take a little box there. You know, again, this is straight out of Think and Grow Rich, but I just kind of co-opted it for weight. And I think this is really cool stuff. So if you do this, it is magical. And I'm going to do a lesson in the next couple of weeks here about auto-suggestion, which is really going to kind of piggyback onto this here. So the first one is to fix in your mind the exact weight and health that you desire, right? Get very, very clear on it. What do you want? This is the secret. Not how much do I want to lose? How much do I want to weigh? There's a big difference there. Determine exactly what you intend to give in return for the body that you want. Okay. Again, there's nothing for free. So again, I'm going to give you a sample of this in a moment, but yeah, what are you willing to give in return for this? Establish a definite date you intend to possess your goal body by, right? And so again, some people get nervous about this, but remember, I know you were supposed to be one-minded, but I know people get nervous about this and are scared to do it because if then it doesn't happen, they feel like they failed. But what do we just say? There is no failure, there's only feedback, even in this case. And having a definite date activates something special within us. So it's important. Next is create a definite plan and begin at once. Okay. So create a plan for yourself. And again, we know that solutions are usually discovered, not developed. So we know that that plan that we come up with is one that's going to grow and evolve and change as we take action. Right? We're going to keep refining and making it better. That's how it works. But we got to start with some kind of plan. Make it definite and begin it right away. Next is to write out a clear, concise statement of 1 through 4. You know, I'll show you in a moment how to do that. And then finally, read your statement out loud twice daily. Right? When you wake up and when you go to bed, read it out loud. And as you do it, this is really like a deep visualization where you really imagine that you are already in that body, right? As if, that's what we talk about, as if it were real. And so you want to go into that feeling, into that state, as if it were already happening. Because again, our unconscious mind can't tell the difference between vivid imagination and reality. And you want to just imagine it was there, you know, get into that body, feel it, stand the way you would stand, breathe the way you would breathe, hold yourself this way. It is this desire, literally, when you do this and you allow yourself to really feel it, you fill your body up with desire and your mind wants it. And that is what attracts you to make it happen. Okay. So it's so, so powerful. So here's kind of a sample statement you can use. And again, I think there's 2 ways you can do this because again, some people don't like the weight thing. And I get that. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be, I'm going to weigh X amount of pounds, right? So, but it can be too. It's up to you to decide what feels right. It can be, I will weigh X pounds and be a size blank. The flip side of that is, or I will have a strong, lean body by the exact date. I would suggest you get a little more specific than strong, lean, right? So maybe, you know, for you, you want to have some measurements, right? And those measurements, again, I don't want to get too specific with them because it's up to you to choose the right ones. You could, you know, I don't know. You could talk about, you could measure, you know, size of a waist. You could measure body fat. You could mention measure flexibility, right? You could measure strength. You could measure, you know, I'll have the ability to, you know, walk 6 miles at a time. You know what I mean? Like you want to have something kind of specific, right? But even if you had a strong, lean body, even that's okay. Because again, the key point is that we really tap into that feeling. And then we go, in order to accomplish this, I'll stop snacking on healthy foods at night. I'll drink water, eat salads every weekday. I'll get at least 8 hours of sleep every night and use the extra energy that it gives me to exercise 3 times a week. Okay. And so you read this every day, twice a day. And it's amazing because what happens is, more than almost anything else, it changes your self-image. It just does. Because when you say these words out loud, there's a part of you, there's going to be a little battle. There's going to be the battle of the part of you says, oh, we can't do that. But as you keep doing it, you're going to start believing it because you're saying it. And consistency and certainty in our minds, it craves it. And so as we keep saying this, even when we had a bad day, we get back up and we read this, it's just a way to kind of boost ourselves up. And it's far beyond an affirmation, because as you get into the second week, the third week of doing this, and you're still doing it, and you're still doing it with that feeling, you legit will get addicted to it. You will. And it starts to become real. You start to associate as that person. You reinforce these behaviors that you're going to do. It's very, very powerful. Okay. So I hope you do this and make it simple. Listen, it doesn't have to be perfect, right? That's the big thing. People say, oh, I don't know if I would get it quite right. It doesn't matter. You can change it. You can tweak it, whatever. It could literally be almost anything. And you start telling yourself this stuff in this powerful way, it's going to have an effect on you, a positive one, okay, of increasing desire. So I hope all this stuff helps you out. So, all right, if you have any questions, feel free to ask them. Connie was sending me a great couple suggestions today. So she was saying, you know, if you guys want to get on the video, yeah, go ahead. I think it's better. If you want to get on video, if you want to chat, that's fine. If you just want to talk on the audio, that's fine. So it's really up to you. But if you'd like to be on the video, yeah, sure, that's cool. That's probably the coolest one. But any of them are fine. So if anyone's got any questions, oh, the 6 rules. Yep. Sample statement. Here they come. Yeah, let me see if I can. There, can you see him? Yeah, I'm telling you, this is powerful stuff right here. And so that's why I said I'm going to teach a thing on auto-suggestion. That's what this is, right? It's auto-suggestion. But this is what I like about this. And when we've done mental program, we've talked about that. But this is just easy to do. And it takes about 15, 20 seconds. You know, I got one that I read and it's on my phone and I look at it all the time. And then I read it, you know, the twice a day. And there's just something about consistency, your own self-consistency. We all live, you've heard me say, we all live up or down to our self-image. So when you start reading this statement to yourself, it's like you're lifting up your self-image, you're reinforcing it, you're saying it all the time. And what happens is you start to believe it, you know, and it's like, what do you believe? You know, what you really believe is you believe the feeling, because you can feel. Remember this, right? So I want to deconstruct this just a hair for a second. And if you have any questions, type them in right now, or just say you want to talk and or unmute yourself and just start talking. But here's the thing, right? I think what this thing does, reading the statement to yourself, is that where was I going with that? So I've said, you know, a lot of times when it comes to weight loss or in health, so we got a goal, right? And we feel like we're like here and our goal's over here. And it's natural sometimes to be like, okay, well, once I reach that goal, you know, then I'm going to feel confident. Then I'm going to feel attractive. Then I'm going to feel whatever. And so that's just natural. But what we know about the mind is that it can't tell the difference between vivid imagination and reality. We know we can feel confident right now. We know we can feel attractive right now. We can feel anything we want to feel right now, right? By using our mind in the proper way. And so that's what I think this statement does, is we read it with that feeling. And so we create that feeling is what we're looking for, because I can't tell you how many people that I've worked with that have lost the weight, right? So technically they've lost the weight, but they never had the feelings that they thought they were going to have. And I think that's such a big mistake people make, is they just assume, well, if I lose the weight, then I'm going to feel this thing. It's not, you might, but you might not, you know? I can't tell you the number of people that lost the weight and tell me they feel like a fraud. They don't feel like themselves. you know? And so I think this, I don't know if it necessarily absolutely eliminates it, but it certainly minimizes, the chances of that happening. You know, so because you start feeling those feelings and they feel good and you want more of that, and you start to realize that wow, those feelings of feeling confident, strong, and powerful and successful, those are real genuine feelings. And then when you put those feelings against like the feelings you get from cookies or ice cream, they kind of pale in comparison. Remember, the whole desire thing, everything's relative. And so as we boost the desire to be healthy and strong and lean and eat the foods that are going to make us that way, we are simultaneously reducing the desire for the other foods that prevent that from happening. You know? So it's really, really helpful. Cool. All right. Well, you guys are quiet tonight. No questions. Everyone's doing good. All right. I'll wrap it up. Palette was spelled correctly. Thank you, Jolene. That's funny. I know, it's like I wrote it and I was like, oh, that's right. You know what I started thinking of though? I was thinking when I read it, I was like, I think I'm used to seeing palette, like the color palette, and that's two L's and an E, two T's. I'm not sure. All you teachers would know. What's up, Connie?
Okay. I gotta quit laughing. You know, we're all having to check our phones to see if you spell this stuff.
I know. Well, that's funny too. I go on camera and stuff. I can't Google it.
It always reminds me of the vice president who's misspelled potato. Isn't there an E on the end? And I'm thinking, right. I probably would have said the same thing. Yeah.
I know. I was like, oh, what a dummy. And then I looked at him like, well, yeah. I don't know.
I have a question, kind of playing around the back of my mind, something to do with, so we all kind of get into this overweight or unfit or less than perfectly healthy condition, primarily, in my opinion, due to stress. Mm-hmm. Could be job stress, could be personal stress, family stress, whatever. So when you're stressed and you have these emotional flashbacks, it becomes difficult to switch over mentally and project yourself into being a happier, healthier person, especially if you're down, you know, sucked into a depressive cycle.
Definitely.
So one thing I learned was kind of a trick to regain control of your mental and emotional state by just saying and declaring to yourself, even if you have to do it out loud, that I am in control of my state. Mm-hmm. And is there something in the neuro-linguistic programming or the hypnosis or something where you can, when you're kind of spiraling down, and that can be triggered when you just get tired or low blood sugar.
Right.
Is there something to contribute? Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll share my perspective on that. And I do, I think what you're saying is good. I think having a positive statement like that's good. But I also think what you're saying is there's a reality to it. You know, like sometimes, I don't know, sometimes we don't eat the right stuff. And so there's a physical reality and effect to that. It's going to affect us psychologically and mentally, emotionally. And then again, if we don't sleep right, you know what I mean? There's a reality to that. One of the things I always tell myself is if I don't feel well, what I will tell myself is the quickest way out of this is to double down on my health. And so I won't double down. Like I'm not going to try and get myself to exercise at those times because that's a little bit of a struggle with me, but I will double down on my solid habits. So, you know, this happened a couple months ago. I was kind of just in a funk. And what I did is I'm just gonna make sure I drink my water. And it's like, it's this safe place for me in a way. It's an anchor. A lot of times we think of anchors kind of going down to the bottom of the thing, but I think anchors sometimes is also holding us up. And that's how I think of like my water and my sleeping, my salads, my, you know, master ritual at night. I'm like, as crappy as I may feel at various times, you know, just things happen and you just feel bad sometimes. It's natural. But when those situations come up now, and this is different how it was in the past, because in the past I get in those states And I'd be like, I'm just going to drink. Hey, you know, I'm going to have a beer. I don't care. And I don't care what I eat. But now it's kind of like, I don't want to stay in this place. I don't like it. And I want to get into a different place. Now, again, I want to point out, I'm not trying to do hard things. I'm doing the things that are easy that I put a lot of work into. So they kind of run themselves. Like, no matter how depressed let me ask you this. Like, have you ever gotten so depressed that you don't brush your teeth?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Okay. So,
Or pull the covers up and just stay in bed till 11.
Yep. I hear you. I think first off, what I always say is, like, especially with the sleeping is probably my number one. So that I know this can go the other way. Sometimes people can just lay in bed literally all day long. So you got to balance it out and stuff. But, I give myself a little bit more leeway. You know what I mean? So it's like, if I want to stay in bed extra long, I'll tell you, there's been times where it's like sometimes during the day, I'm just in such a funk. I'll just go in my house and just go to sleep. I'll just literally sleep for a couple hours. But, I let myself do it. Now, again, I don't want to make light of this because I don't have like depression issues. I mean, everyone gets sad and depressed sometimes, but then there's real depression, and that's a different thing, I think. So I'm not speaking to those things. I'm talking about kind of funks, getting into moods, which is a little bit lighter. Where are you at with that? What level you are with that one?
Oh, I'm distanced from that. Mm-hmm. And by probably, you know, over a year.
Okay.
Well over a year. Mm-hmm. But I knew when I was in it, and I allowed myself to experience it because I had never really had a major depressive episode, but I was very familiar with what they were about.
Yep.
So I knew enough that if it had gone further, I certainly would have sought professional help. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I realize now that when you are able to work through that, or the stresses just naturally abate and you start to feel better and you do the little things that make you feel better, right, then you get to a point where you can really look back on that and actually be pretty much clear of it. But one of the things in transitioning from a very depressed state into one of a much less depression and really feeling much better was recognizing when my mind was reviewing negative thoughts. Mm-hmm. And that was something that just, it took a while to realize it.
Yeah.
I think one trick I read was, if you're aware of the fact that you're having random negative thoughts or mulling over an issue, say, and you're driving along, just start looking for everything that's the color red or the color yellow.
Yeah.
And it distracts your mind. But I think you agree with me, there's a transition point, or there's a transition period where we can be in seriously depressed moods, and not just because we're bad people or we're drinking or, you know,
right.
whatever, but because life sometimes really sucks.
Oh yeah.
And then you come out of it a period of time, and then I think it's much easier when you have some distance from that to really let this, like you said, let this magic of the six steps mm-hmm. happen, just because you're in a better mood generally.
Yeah. I would agree with that 1,000%. I think you're right. I think when you're in a depressed state, I'll share this with you. And I don't know if this helps or if you experience this at all, but one of the things I've found to be helpful, and again, I want to be clear that I don't think I've had major depression type stuff. I don't know, but so is to actually feel it, because I think a lot of times, I don't know, that's happened. I don't know. I feel like I've evolve with some of this stuff to the point where if I get into really depressive places, I'll let myself feel it. At the same time, I'm discounting some of the thoughts I have. So I think that's interesting. I think the first step is awareness. And I always think that can help. If you can become aware of what you're doing to generate the depression. Now, some of it may be biochemical. I think there's some people that have biochemical reasons for being depressed. But I also think that there is absolutely a psychological game going on where your the movies you're playing in your mind, the thoughts you're thinking about, the memories you're recalling, all make you feel worse and worse and worse. And that certainly exacerbates the biochemistry of it. And so I think what you're saying is kind of almost a distraction technique, but it's based on awareness. The first step is you have to be aware that you're having those negative thoughts first, right?
Right, absolutely.
And that's, I always say that the awareness part is always the hardest part because we're unconscious creatures primarily. But once you become aware, then you have some different avenues you can go down. And so distraction, like, oh, look for anything color red. That's a good one. So what's it doing? It's changing the thoughts in your head. Another one that I use recently is the idea of discounting. I use this kind of regularly where I will discount the thoughts that I'm having. When I don't sleep well and I wake up and I'm tired, or I'm just tired, or I get some bad news and I'm in a bad mood, I recognize that I'm in that state. And then when I start having all the thoughts that go along with that unpleasant state, their unpleasant thoughts, I discount them. It's almost like saying, we all do this to people outside of ourselves. So if you see someone's in a really bad mood and they're like, nah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to quit, but you know, they're just blown off steam. You don't really take what they're saying as seriously. And that's what discounting means. So okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like when you're having these thoughts, you're just going like, and literally this is what I say to myself. I'm like, Jim, you know, you're just in a bad mood. You know, you're just pissed off. And this happens in relationships. You know, my wife will say something, but I don't say it out loud because I'm just like, Jim, you're just in a bad mood. But it's all based on awareness. You know what I mean? And so there's a lot of techniques you can put in place once you become aware. But I always think even the most depressed person, if they could begin to recognize that there is a psychological component to it, they can at least influence it. I'm not saying they can fix all of it necessarily, but they can absolutely influence what they're thinking about, what they're focusing on, right? Because that's what you were talking about. When you, oh, it's everything red, you're changing your focus, which is simultaneously changing the things that you're mulling over.
Yeah, I think if you're not, like you say, biochemically depressive, and you can recognize what's affecting you, then you'll benefit by simply changing your focus, distracting yourself.
Right.
There are, of course, people that have real biochemical depression, and it is not something that they can be talked out of or told of. We'll just snap out of it, you know.
Right.
That's totally inappropriate. But generally, when you care enough about yourself or self-aware enough that you want to feel good, you want to look good, you want to just have a happier life, you're not a depressed person.
Right.
In a clinical sense. But I mean, we can go through episodes if we have a tremendous amount of stress over a period of time. Then I think the distractions work, and I like what you said about kind of just acknowledging that you're probably not at your best.
Right. Well, and here's another one too. The way that I think about the habits at this point, like I think, again, I'm a hypnotist. You know, they always say, like, when the only tool you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So as a hypnotist, everything is kind of suggestions to me. And suggestions are just kind of the thoughts we give ourselves. But in addition, I always think the strongest suggestion you can give yourself is action. Because it's like if you, I always stick with the water, but it's like if I drink my water, for me, it's like, okay, I can have the worst day. But it's like, as long as I drank the water, I'm like, well, at least I drank my water. Do you know what I mean? So it's like this little anchor that's like, okay, well, wasn't that bad. When I'm thinking anchor this way, it's almost like, you know, you like fishing, they have the bobbers that kind of.
Yes, yes.
That's kind of how I think of it. It's kind of like it holds me up a bit. And I see Carol wrote something about sleep. That's kind of the other one I do now, where I really, like when I'm in a bad mood, it's come up to this now. The very first thing I think about is sleep. How much sleep did I get? And even if I got a lot of sleep, was it a good quality? And maybe I need more. So I can't speak for everyone. And that's the key point here too, is that, and so Connie, you went through something and it sounds like you've come up with some strategies now. So that if all of a sudden you get into another funk, and it's going to happen at some point probably, but you got a better strategy to get out of it now. Would you agree with that?
Yes. And sometimes just talking about it and expressing or being aware that I'm irritated or angry, or even if I happen to be in a bad mood, which fortunately doesn't happen a lot anymore, I can say, I'm sorry I've just, you know, I've had a really rough time lately, and I just am looking for something to go right. So I know this is not your fault.
Right.
You know, to kind of try and make sure that I'm not offending someone else because of my bad mood. But yeah, I think there are a lot of strategies out there. And once you're able to employ them and get beyond, like you said last, well, a couple of weeks ago, that most of us that are, you know, part of the group regularly here, we really need to be looking at the maintenance plan, mm-hmm. like what you're giving us now.
Right.
Things that we can take action and do because we've gone through the struggling, the beginning stages.
Yeah, that's right. It's so true. And it just, that's what I try and convey. Because I've been doing this for a while, and it's like, it just keeps getting better and better.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And yeah. It starts really the hardest part. I promise you, like we're all going to go through funks. Like I know I'm going to go through funks. I know that, but I got to be honest. Like here's how I look at it. Like I know I'll get into, I've been in bad funks like back in the day, but like without questions, I didn't know how to deal with any of the emotions and I didn't have any good habits. That's what I find. It goes back to the all or nothing in my opinion. And I think it's so easy to become nothing. You know what I mean? Now again, when most people think weight or health or whatever, it's basically, okay, I'm going to eat well and I'm going to exercise. And then all of a sudden you get in a bad mood. Those are the two first things to go. And now it's like, they've got nothing. Now what happens? Cause I've done this. So it's like, you know, I'll be drinking. I didn't even think about these habits, to be honest. So there was no water. There was nothing. I'm going to try and eat well. I'm going to exercise. I would do it. And then I would get in a bad mood and I would stop doing it. And then I would be drinking. I'd be staying up really late, eating crap. I'd sleep all day. I wouldn't do any exercising. I wasn't drinking any water. I wasn't eating any healthy food. I wasn't meditating.
I'm glad you pulled out of that nosedive, Jim.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. I mean, that nosedive was like the, you know, from the ages of 9 to, no, that's not true, but really the nosedive was really from about 16, 17 to about 21. And, but there was none of that stuff. So I didn't have any of those things as, buffers, because now it's like I have had challenges in the last 10 years, really intense challenges, family, you know, people dying that are close to me and just every stress that a person can have in life. But now when I get into those places, it's like, okay, now I need to make sure I'm drinking my water. I got to make sure I get to bed tonight. I got to make sure that I have my salad. I got to make sure I do my, you hear the difference? So it's like the other thing's just a free fall. And this is what I see with most people. This happens, right? If you've experienced this, you don't always have these habits at your disposal. It's just a free fall of bad behavior at that point. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I think people go through, we're pain avoiding creatures.
Right.
So we'll do anything. If the pain is strong enough and we don't have coping skills, we'll do everything we can to numb it.
Right.
But eventually you do come out of it, and then we're dealing like with the distractions.
Yep.
Like last summer, McDonald's built a new building down at the corner, and they put up this really great marketing picture of a glass of icy Coca-Cola. And I don't even drink Coke. And I went by that thing several times. I thought, you know, that's really a good picture, marketing, public relations picture.
Right.
And by golly, I was in the store one day and I thought, yeah, I really like some Coke. And I bought a can of Coke. I thought, I don't even like this stuff. But, right. You know, I drank it. And then I was where I go, oh, yeah, it was that advertising picture. And right. Then I'm trying to figure out if they had like a subliminal message printed that I couldn't see.
Right.
That said, buy Coke, drink Coke.
Well, that's what happens. I mean, it's so everywhere that's what typically happens. We get into a bad place. And a bad place can be any number of things. I swear, the phrasing that I've been really liking lately is the empty, insecure feeling. And this, because even a lot of this stuff, even a lot of depression, I find a lot of times it's us trying not to feel that empty feeling that we all feel sometimes. And we're just scared of it. And so, again, that's my commercial for meditation, is I really think meditation is an empty, secure feeling. And what happens with meditation, as you really get into it, is you're constantly letting these thoughts go, and then the thoughts come in, and then all of a sudden you react to them, but you're there witnessing it. And so it allows you to become a much better observer. It allows you to become more aware of why you're responding and feeling the way you're feeling. Because to me, it's like even that Coke story, that's a real win, not because you drank the Coke, but because you realized why it probably happened. Like yes. You know what I mean? Like we get so caught up in that. We never realize that. And it's like, if you don't even realize it, it's hard to change it, right? Because then it's just like, oh, I have to stop doing this. But you don't realize why you're even desiring it. And so right. Once you realize that, it just changes everything. You know, so those are great points. But yeah, we're always going to go into funk sometimes. But again, just remember, even in those times, you know, and it doesn't have to be like, you're not always going to be 100% with your habits. But when you're in a funk, if you look at it and you're like, okay, this is where I really need this habit and this habit. You know, I'm really going to commit to these. It feels a lot better.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah. So Carol's leaving. My anchors have stopped the free fall. That's great. Yeah. So yeah, Carol, you know, I'm doing a much better day in spite of rotten weather. I know the weather is bad everywhere. I'll tell you, I had a call today with a lady and she is in California. And what did she have? She told me, what was it? An atmospheric river. Not that one. I never heard of that before. I swear they must have new people at the marketing department for the weather because there's some words I've never heard before, but atmospheric river. So yeah, I know it's crazy weather everywhere, huh? Well, great job, Carol. Yeah, she's gone, but I have to send her a message. But you know, something she said is so important too, is that lack of sleep, we are a sleep deprived culture. So please, I'm telling you, the sleep is, I'm feeling like that's more and more important than anything. I'll give you one example, just real quick here. Last night I went to bed very early. And so I got like, you know, 9.5 hours of sleep and I didn't sleep solidly through it. But what I did do is I was kind of, you know, I slept for a while. I got up, I meditated, I went back to sleep and my sleep was kind of like up and down. But I had a lot of dreams. I started to think, I'm like, you know, if you didn't have TV or radio even, like sleeping probably would have been like entertainment. Right? You should have these crazy dreams, you know, exciting dreams. And they'd probably be a lot more important to us, you know, than they are now. But now we have real, you know, entertainment of TV and computers and whatever else. But it just makes me think that I, you know, again, our modern society really depletes us on sleep so much. And, so the more sleep you can get, I swear it is like a superpower. It's not like we minimize how important sleep is. It affects our biochemistry. It absolutely affects our brain, specifically our prefrontal cortex. It affects our ability to, you know, process glucose in our body. It's just everything. And so the more sleep you can get, and I know some people have a struggle with sleep and stuff. So, you know, even the hypnotic naps and really kind of mastering that part, it is, that's where I would really put some of my energy into, because that is one that the more energy I put into sleeping and getting that down, the better I feel, you know? So I just want to leave you with that one. So, all right, everyone, thanks for being on here. It was a great call as usual. Have a super duper week. And yeah, we'll talk next Tuesday. Good night, everyone.